Greetings to all you phenomenal listeners. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, evening, night, graveyard shift. Whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from tiny village to big city, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from tropical paradise to the gorgeous mountaintops, and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Butler, Kentucky. Quezon City, Philippines. Worcester, Massachusetts. Okay, now, quick story about Worcester. I know I said that wrong, and you're gonna know why right now. So, my boyfriend and I, every night, we watch an episode of X-Files before bed. It's just kind of like our thing that we do. And last night's episode took place in Worcester, which is spelled like Worcester, but pronounced way different. Those words kill me, man. Killing me, Smalls. Well, I always read stuff that comes on the TV because my boyfriend's eyesight isn't perfect. So I'm just used to reading things out loud when I'm watching TV. And he kept having to correct me. And finally, when it would come up on the screen, I would skip that word altogether and just say, Massachusetts. Then I gave him the jar the following day to pick out cities for this episode. And we laughed when we saw that indeed one of them was this. Just so you guys know, I have several hundred cities in that jar. I'm guessing 400, but probably a lot more than that. And I shook it, and he grabbed some. And it's like, wow, that's what he picked. So that's pretty wild stuff. Anyways, just had to share that with you. Moving on to the other cities, we got Lincoln Park, Michigan, Meridian, Idaho, and Mukachevo, Ukraine. Welcome to part two in my Dearest Mom series, a sister series, if you will, of words by my grandfather, True Tales of World War II. In the 40s, during the war, you waited at home anxiously for a letter from your loved one who was deployed. Like my grandfather would say, in the Army, no news is good news. And based on my grandpa's letters, sharing excitement that he received a letter or a package from home, I know this must have been one of the main pleasures, a taste of normalcy, a taste of home, if you will, that these brave men and women fighting for our country would receive and absolutely deserve. Now, with all the technology and what have you, it's a bit easier to keep in contact with family these days when it comes to military. I have a friend whose husband is a Marine and is away from home at the moment on military business, and we shared that every night at a certain time, they are able to talk on the phone. Once done, though, no more calls are to be made until the next day at the same time. I mean, kudos to military spouses everywhere. Honestly, truly, that's a job all in itself. So in December, when I went to the Veterans Home and Hospital to visit our absolutely amazing heroic vets, I had talked with a woman who herself was not a vet, but her husband was. And she was a military wife for over 22 years. Again, a job all in itself. Her husband's no longer here, but you better believe I was more than happy to put a scarf on that beautiful lady. Today, I want to read a small handful of short letters that my grandpa wrote back home to the small mining town of Walsenburg, Colorado. Private Gerald Morrow writes home Monday night, July 28th of 1942. The return address reads Post Hospital Ward 3, located in his not-so-favorite place while he was in the military, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. His stationery has the eagle with the banner "I Pluribus Unum" and reads "United States Army, Fort Sill, Oklahoma." And on a side note, after my grandpa passed away, I got that eagle tattooed on my back in memory of him. Now, the letter reads, "Dearest Mama, flat on my back again. It seems that I never did get up from the last time. If anybody ever mentions hospital to me again, I think I'll sit on them. I was operated on Friday morning. Again, they used the spinal on me. Only this time it wasn't quite so pleasant. The first time, it just took one thrust of the needle. This time, he had to punch 4 times before he hit the right spot. I thought I would go nuts. It makes me grit my teeth to even think about it. I have been more or less in misery ever since the operation. It seems to hurt a lot more this time. It's awful hot. The days seem to never end. Then at nights, I just can't sleep. They have to give me something to put me to sleep. I hate to be singing the blues about how I feel. I know there are plenty a lot worse off than I am. And I guess in a few days, especially after they take out the stitches, this coming Friday, I'll feel better. Then I may get to go home again, which will compensate for a lot of stuff I might have to undergo. They ran an article in the Oklahoma City Times about our battery. I thought I would send it to you. You might give it to the Independent. I've tried to explain it to a lot of my friends at home. Maybe they can better understand it if they read all about it. I'm a poor rider anyhow, much less flat on my back, so I better terminate this. Love and regard to all, Gerald." Private Gerald Morrow writes this letter to his family home on East 5th Street in Walsenburg, Colorado, with the same stationery paper as the last letter, on September 15th, 1942. "Dearest Mom, I'm back again, and it seems that I've never been gone. I left Wichita Falls at 2:30 and got here about 5. I got a haircut and came out here to the post. As yet, I haven't spoken to any officials, but I'm not in the least bit worried about the little misunderstanding. The train I was on crashed into a car at Trinidad and delayed us about 30 minutes. I didn't get to see the car. I didn't even know what had happened until we left Trinidad. I get more fed up with trains each time I ride one. I just figured out that I have traveled a little over 15,000 miles on trains in the last 7 years. It's awful hot here. After coming from home, where you know how cool it's been, it's pretty miserable. I sure would like to be shipped out of this state, especially before winter when it gets plenty cold. Well, I'm really tired, so I guess I'll hit the hay. It's 9:15 p.m. Give my love to Papa, and I want both of you to remember not to worry about me. Just take care of yourselves, and you know I can and will take care of myself. And someday soon, all of these unpleasant partings will just be forgotten memories. Love, Gerald." Private Gerald Morrow now finds himself in Camp A.P. Hill, Virginia, and he sits down Sunday night, October 4th of 1942, and pens a letter to his beloved mother. "Dearest Mom, I got a few moments this evening before dark, so I thought I would drop you a line or two. I have felt kind of holy today. I went to Mass this morning for the first time in a long time, and I walked a mile to get there. The accommodations and the beauty of that little chapel are not quite what I have seen before. But the little red light was burning, and the priest wore green, celebrating the 19th sun after Pentecost, just as I suppose they did in all the big, beautiful cathedrals. The chapel was an old frame building, which was probably used by a few scattered families who used to settle around these parts. It is very tiny, about 26 feet long and 20 feet wide. The altar is about 5 feet wide and is rather bare, having just a crucifix, 2 candles, and the different articles used in Mass. It had a background of green pine benches, of which there are plenty around here. There are 10 benches lined up for the men to sit. When they are full, the rest stand. I was fortunate enough to occupy a seat today, as the little place was really packed. Just before Mass, the priest, a very fine-looking and well-spoken young chaplain, announced that confessions would be heard. I was wondering where, because there certainly wasn't any sign of a confessional or sacristy or anything. The whole works consists of just one room. The men who went to confession walked up to the altar and had their confessions heard right out in the open of the altar. Of course, silent enough so that no one could hear. I hope to meet the chaplain someday and talk to him because he really looks like a swell egg. Incidentally, remember how Father Newell used to tell you to have me write him? Well, I've written him twice, and now I want you to tell him that I am expecting a letter from him. Space is getting short, and it's getting dark, so I'll have to cut this short. Give my love to Pop and regards to everyone. Love, Gerald. P.S. You've been going to church for me all of this time? Today, I went for you. 4 days after the last letter that I just read, he writes home again. When time allowed, he wrote home as often as possible, sometimes writing several in 1 week's time. He really missed home, and it showed, and he was the best pen pal that his mother and Pop could really ask for. Thursday, October 8th, 1942. Dearest Mom, I just have a few minutes, so I thought I would drop you a few lines. In 20 minutes, I have to go do some work, which will take me until 1 o'clock in the morning to finish. It is now 4 p.m. The work will be some sort of drafting. One thing nice about it, I will get to sleep all day tomorrow, which is right up my alley. It looks as though we are preparing to move. I am anxiously hoping that we will go across, and I hope that when they examine us, I will be fit. Please, Mama, don't worry about me. I know I can take care of myself, and my particular job is not one that will be the least bit dangerous or hazardous. I really want to get over there, and I will be awful disappointed if I don't. Just, if I go, keep praying for me, and you can rest assured that I will be doing the same for you and Pop. And please trust that I will be going to Mass and Communion every Sunday, unless utterly impossible. I don't know just when we are going or where we are going, but working in battalion headquarters, I happen to know that it will be very soon. At any rate, address your mail to me here and I will get it. We just may move to another location in this country, but I have reason to believe that we are going across, which for my protection and thousands of others, I wish you wouldn't disclose or tell anyone. I received your box of candy, which was swell. Thanks a lot. And if you sent me cigs, they are here. The mail orderly told me I had a carton of cigarettes, but I haven't had time to pick them up yet. I was mighty surprised when I was looking through Life and ran across Mike Buckus's picture. I graduated with him and recognized him immediately. It will be several days yet before we move, and I know that I will get to write again before we do. There is just one thing I ask of you and Pop if and when I go. Again, I say please do not let yourselves worry about me. Just pray and trust to God that we will all be together soon. Deepest love, Gerald. P.S. I'm enclosing a receipt for an allotment that I have taken out for the purchase of one bond a month, which will be sent home regularly. I have decided that before I go, if I go, I will send you a telegram and tell you. I won't be able to tell you word for word, but if you get a birthday message from me, you will know that I have gone or will be leaving. Love, Gerald. And one final letter shared with you for this episode is dated December 6th, 1942. This letter, you will notice, has some doctoring up. The censors had to cut out tiny sections really not even sections, just like one little word here and one little word there, and perfectly, precisely cut out, leaving everything else readable. When I reach these cutout words, I will do a little bit of music like this. I mean, really, think about it. That must have been a hell of a job, going through countless letters, reading each one, every single word, to make sure nothing important was being shared back home. The letter reads this. My dearest mother and dad, I hardly know how to start this letter or what to write about when I do start. There is so much that I could and would like to include, but from now on, I will have to be very careful about which I write, as I might peeve the censor. I hope you received the letter that I wrote on the ship that brought me here. Where? Oh, yes, I am in Africa. I am in Africa, near the city of... Ever heard of it? It's really quite a place. I can't tell you how long I was on the boat, but believe me, I was certainly happy to get on old terra firma again. We had a comparatively nice voyage. However, we did have a little rough weather occasionally. Living conditions on the ship were not exactly good, and the food, it was simply lousy. One thing nice about the trip was that Mass was held every day on the boat, and I went every day possible. I went to communion the second Sunday and three times after that. Since we have landed here, I have gone to Mass and communion every Sunday, but must walk 10 miles in order to do so. They really have a swell little cathedral in... Before I go, I will say that... is a city of approximately... people whose inhabitants, other than the Arab nations, of which there are plenty, are mostly French with a few Spanish. The sermon is given in French until today when they had an army chaplain at a mass, especially for soldiers. The first Sunday here, my best friend Bill Witz, who is a very good Catholic, and I, along with a few others, walked into church with the intention of going to communion. Time for communion, and they didn't give any. We couldn't understand it, but assumed that it was because it was a late Mass. After Mass, we tried to ask several of the French people about communion, but we couldn't get them to understand. So finally, we saw a little French man, and we pointed in our mismal to the Corpus Domine, word said when the priest gives communion. It was understood, and they took us to the back of the cathedral where a priest gave us communion. I have, other than going to church, been to town once. The customs of the people are quaint and truly different. I could write pages and pages of what I have seen and done here, but lack space. The climate here is similar to the climate of some of our southern states and home. It is warm during the day, sometimes hot. The nights are very cool and very damp from heavy dew. So far, we have had a great deal of rain. I suppose at home, you are probably having a great deal of snow. There is a 9 hours difference in the time here than at home. It seems strange that about the time that you are retiring, I am getting up. And when I am eating lunch, you are soundly sleeping. I am just starving to know how all of you are. And Mickey, Rosalie, Ronnie, and Phyllis. It seems like ages since I have seen those kiddos. I hope they aren't too grown before I get back. I hope things are going nicely at the creamery. And I suppose business, due to all the tire and gas rationing, must be affected at the springs. Boy, how I'd love some of that delicious ice cream at the creamery. Tell Johnny that he better lock the ice cream room when I get home, because I'll probably want to eat it all up. Well, I think I better halt this now. And in closing, I want to remind you that I am very healthy and very happy, and please do not worry about me. Take care of yourselves. I know you will, Mom, but you, Pop, you're the guy. When I get back soon, I want to run you a race around the block. Give my love and regards to everyone. With deepest love, Gerald. I truly do love reading these letters. Some may seem boring, while some have a lot of details about things that he is going through and experiencing out there. Whatever he wrote about, I'm sure my great-grandmother and grandfather were so happy to hear from him. Please stay tuned for future Dearest Mom episodes and Words by My Grandfather episodes, as those are both ongoing series.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? No need to lose sleep over it. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic, basically wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks for stopping by, everyone, and
I will see you next week.